You know what time it is. It's time for Grating the Nerd. With your hosts, Tim and Zach. Take it away, boys.
Welcome back to Grating the Nerd. It's the show where we check out all kinds of fun stuff and then talk about it a little bit. I'm Tim, this is Zach, and after a few weeks of multiple people, our threesome's down to two.
Gruesome twosome.
Hey, that's right. How's it going, man?
Not too bad. How about you?
Oh, not bad. Not bad. It's been a hectic work week. Work's just been insane, so I feel like I haven't kept up on my other, like, being a husband and father correctly. Like, I realized, like, the day we've been trying to schedule, and with the weather here in Ohio, we've been trying to schedule a conference with one of my kids' teachers. And I realized Thursday evening at like 7 or 8 o'clock that he had emailed me, because we haven't been able to coordinate schedules. He emailed me on Wednesday and was like, because I said I could do Thursday, and he was like, yeah, I could do Thursday. I'll send a Zoom meeting tomorrow night. We'll just do it over Zoom. And then I saw the email where he had sent it, but I had just been so engrossed in work, I hadn't checked my personal email for 2 days.
Oh, geez.
So I had to reply and be like, I am so sorry. Like, you know, work has been hectic. I didn't see your email until just now. You know, but so yeah, there's that. Feelings of inadequacy as a father. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah. So, oh man, but yeah, that's been about it. We watched the Super Bowl, and
did you?
Yeah, we went to somebody's house for a whole thing, and friends of ours, and all that. And so, there was good food, and I got yelled at by the wives because during the halftime show, we were sitting on the couch, kind of. They have like a big sectional couch. Most of us were sitting on watching, and at halftime, the wives all got up and like they went behind the couch and were like dancing to the stuff. They're a group of dancing type females, and you know, who like to just, like, sure, back in the day would go to the club and just put their shoes in a pile and stand around them dancing. And so afterwards, one of them said something about dancing, and one of the other husbands was like, you guys were dancing? She was like, yeah, we were behind the couch dancing the whole time. And I, of course, being me, went, oh, that was you? I thought somebody turned a CPAP machine on behind me. She was like, shut up. Oh, yeah, they didn't think my joke was nearly as funny as I did.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, so we watched the whole thing. We watched Eminem kneel, and I heard the collective alt-right lose their minds.
Yeah.
And they're like, but wait, you look like us. Aren't you supposed to be oppressing those people? Fucking redneck hill jacks. Anyway, yeah, that's the kind of week I've had. No. Yeah. And so, yeah, my wife's side of the family are big Bengals fans, so I was hoping they would do well. And they, of course, in true Ohio tradition, found a way to fuck it up. So,
yeah.
I also was on a call at work this week where one lady who's a big Bengals fan was like, you know, like, I really just don't feel like they lost. Like, they did something great, and I feel like they're winners. And I was in the office that day, and I was muted, and another guy was muted that was on the same call. And I looked over at him, caught his eye, and I go, but in a more realistic and tangible way, they lost. he started laughing. He's like, yeah, right. But anyway, I don't know, man. Good on him. I think Joe Burrow doesn't get enough credit. I don't know how much you know about the sports ball, Zach.
The names are ringing bells, but I don't know who these people are.
He's the Bengals quarterback, and everybody's like, that kid, man, on the field, he's a general, and look at his arm. And I'm like, dude, the most impressive thing is to look like he looks like and have a wife that looks like his. Like, I don't think he gets enough credit for that, because he's a Magoo-looking motherfucker. Not really. I mean, he's not hard to look at, but I did see a lot of people comparing him to a grown up Kevin McAllister, and boy, does he look like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so I was like, good on him, man. I don't think he gets enough credit for you know, locking in that that wife.
Why is he got a baby face?
I don't know. It's weird, right? I told somebody he always looks surprised. He's one of those guys that he just, every time you see him, he's like, what happened? Like, that's what he looks like.
I don't understand why every man doesn't have a beard. So,
yeah, well, yeah, yeah. I mean, I get it sometimes, like when I'm trying to eat soup and suddenly half my mustache is in my mouth and I'm like, oh, I should just shave my whole body. But then at other times I'm like, oh, it keeps me warm. And it also gets in my mouth when I have to wear a mask somewhere. So why do I do this?
It hides my ugly cleft chin that looks like a butthole on my face.
The one thing I don't get is I don't get why every man who has a very weak chin line doesn't have a beard. Like, you see those people who like, you know, cankles, like it's more like, I don't know, I guess you call it a sheck. It's like their shoulders go straight into their head. There's no chin there, you know, like their neck is just the same size as their jawline. I don't know why those people don't grow beards and just shape it out to make it look like they have a chin. Because I would. Oh my God. I would have started taking Rogaine when I was like 10. Like, gotta get rid of this weird thumb head I have. Yeah. That's a breeding thing, by the way. I think that's my philosophy. Look that up. Somebody Google that if you're listening. I think it's a breeding thing, the weak chin.
Breeding thing?
Yeah. Like it's hereditary, you know, like if you're. Yeah,
but the way you said it made it sound like you were like mixing dog breeds.
We should breed the weak chin out of human society. It wouldn't be that hard to do. I have a dachshund. We've made a dog that's only a quarter of a dog tall and about two dogs long. How the fuck can we not get rid of the weird no chin? Listen, if you're listening and you have no chin, I'm not talking about you. Your jawline is strong and manly. I'm talking about the other people with no chin. But if you have no chin, certainly don't marry somebody with no chin. You just constantly walk around looking like you're doing that face with no visible jawline.
Like, breed a whole family that looks like the cast of Bob's Burgers.
That's right. Yeah, it's the Bob's Burger head. Like, how is that a thing, man? Like, we should be able to get rid of that as a society. Like, you know, fuck COVID. We need a shot to get rid of that. Like, oh man, it is a hereditary thing though. Because if you look at it. It's mostly, it seems to be more prevalent in like the Appalachian area, you know. It does. Maybe the jawline is just filled with extra mayonnaise or something. Like, oh, fuck. We're off to a blistering start this week.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure anybody listening still, thank you, first of all. Most people have tuned out. Like, my grandfather had a weak chin. Yeah. Yeah, that's probably why he never got ahead in life. That's not true. I know lots of people who've gotten ahead with weak chins. I've had to talk to some of them. Anyway. Again, like everything that I say on the show, everybody just know I only make fun of it because it's a condition that doesn't affect me personally. So I feel like it's safe to make fun of. If I had no chin, I would be like, that's not funny. Like, I don't know why you're even talking about it. Anyway, grow a beard.
Yep.
That's how we got there, right? Baby faces.
Yeah.
Oh man. So yeah, I did that. I don't know, man. It's been just kind of a week, you know. I'm pumped. I'm getting ready to head down to a gaming convention this coming weekend, a very small one, very kind of like, you know, like very small down in Hocking Hills. It's pretty cool. And it raises money for charity, which is pretty awesome. So
that's good.
Yeah.
I like Hocking Hills.
Yeah, dude, it's gorgeous down there.
Yeah, it's nice. So, out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm doing that, man. So that's this coming weekend. Pumped about that. It's going to be fun to just kind of get away from it all, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Also, one of my good buddies called me the other day. He belongs to the Cinemark, whatever club thing you can do. I'm part of it too, where you can get like cheaper movie tickets and one free one a month and, you know, discounts on snacks and stuff.
Right.
But he's hit a level where he now occasionally will get sneak preview tickets to shit. And so he called me this week and asked if I'd be interested in going to see The Batman with Robert Battenbat on March 2nd. So here in a couple weeks, I'll be able to talk, probably non-spoilery, but I'll be able to talk about what I thought about The Batman.
Very nice.
So yeah, I'm like I've talked about many times on the show, I'm about the movie. I'm sure it'll be fine. Speaking of a movie I'm pumped about, though, and the Super Bowl, let's bring it all full circle. We got a new trailer for Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
We did.
Yeah. What'd you think of that, man?
It looked pretty rad, dude. I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm actually getting pretty excited about this one.
Yeah, dude, I'm pumped. I'm that's awesome. So, we got what appears to be. Also, a lot of people are speculating. This is not news to anybody based on that trailer. If you haven't watched the trailer and you're keeping your head under a rock because you don't want to know anything, you might want to skip ahead a few minutes. Maybe like 5 minutes or so. Okay, that was your warning. It clearly seems that they're dealing with Marvel's Illuminati in this, right?
Yeah, that's what it seems like, yeah.
That's boss as hell, man.
Yeah.
And we got what... I'm kind of shocked they put this in a trailer, but we got what it seems to me is very obvious that it's Patrick Stewart, right? I mean, his voice is pretty unmistakable.
It's pretty iconic, yeah.
Yeah, and they got an extreme close-up of that bald head of his, you know, from behind. It's just the side, like you see the top of an ear and bald.
We'll go see it, and it'll just be a bald Frank Caliendo doing a Patrick Stewart.
Frank Caliendo doing a John Madden impression. That's what most of his impressions are. And I think he's pretty funny when he does them, but most of them are just him going, good job, Frank.
Nailed it.
Yep. Killing it, man. Oh, why don't you do a John Madden now impression and stay quiet?
Impression comedy. That's still relevant, right?
Oh, man. Yeah, but I... So do you know much about the Marvel Illuminati?
I do not, no.
All right. So the biggest thing I know them from is Planet Hulk and World War Hulk. And basically, they are some of the most brilliant minds in the Marvel universe that form an Illuminati to basically oversee the planet and make sure everything is okay. And they tried to get like representatives from kind of each realm, you know? So there's Professor X, who's kind of represents mutant kind. You know, you have Tony Stark, who is sort of they kind of look at him as like a powerless individual, you know, like he's a genius, but he doesn't have any like innate powers. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You've got Reed Richards, which is sort of scientific community and I guess like acquired powers. Yeah, I don't know how to say that, but you know what I mean? Like bitten by something type powers.
Yeah. The Spider-Man black people.
Right. You got Doctor Strange, who's in charge of all things finger wiggly and magical. You've got this is in the comics. You've got Namor, who is a representative from the under the sea folk, you know, and then you've got Black Bolt, who is like the Inhuman representative. And then what I found very weird, though. So Black Panther was invited at one point because they were like, well, we're all white. But let's invite that guy so that we can make social media accounts. But he actually is the only one smart enough to go, this doesn't feel right to me. I'm out. You know, like this doesn't feel right that we should be making decisions for the world without everybody's input or without some sort of like in the shadows, you know.
Right.
And And so he stepped out. But what I find really interesting is I went to Marvel.com to look at the Illuminati today to see if there was anything I was missing or make sure I had the membership correct. And on that page, the Marvel.com teams and groups / Illuminati, current members, it lists the ones I said already. And it also lists Sylvie.
Really?
Yes. Which I find incredibly interesting. Like, do you think there's a chance we're going to get Sylvie on this council in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness?
I don't know.
I found that kind of interesting that she's on there now, you know, that she's listed on their website. Because I don't know. I don't know a ton about them in the comics. I mean, like I said, Planet Hulk is where they basically decided as a small group, we're going to exile Bruce Banner to a planet, an uninhabited planet for the good of society because he's too dangerous. And that led to him being on Sakaar in the comics, which is sort of what the Thor Ragnarok movie took themes from. But then Hulk came back and wrecked a lot of heroes on Earth and stuff because he's like, how dare you? You know, they basically tricked him by going, hey, there's this alien like this. It's non-sentient. It's just like a force of destruction. It's on this spaceship. You know, it's routed the crew. It's slowly drifting toward Earth. You're the only one who can survive like in space, really, you know, easily. Because I guess they, you know, and he was kind of like, yeah, I've never heard of Captain Marvel. So he was like, okay. and so they sent him up there. And then when he got back in the ship to autopilot back to Earth, they were like, they basically had pre-recorded a message that was like, sorry, buddy, this is for the good of everyone. You're going to this planet. It's uninhabited, but he hits a black hole in between and it takes him to Sakaar and whatever, you know. But that's the only real thing that I've read about the Illuminati. They have like mini series about them and stuff, but I've just never delved into those stories that much. So, but yeah, man. And so I'm also wondering if we're going to get, you know, so there obviously rumors have abounded. In case somebody got to here, we are still talking about Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. In case somebody's like skipping around, because I know I do that. And I'm like, are they still talking about it? When I'm trying to avoid spoilers. But there's like some what looked to be like Ultron bots in this.
Yes. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. And so I'm wondering if Ultron might be in this or if like a variant of Tony Stark that succeeded with building Ultron and him not going crazy, you know, like or something. Yeah, man, it's just wild. We get what appears to be a couple what if characters in this. Like we see like an undead Doctor Strange, which I mean, yeah, from your favorite episode, the zombie episode. And then we see just a quick flash of what could be a zombie Wanda, or it might just be actual Wanda kind of losing her mind and covered in blood or something. But yeah. So I'm like, oh my God, are they just bringing the what if stuff in whole hog? You know, I don't know, man. I'm really pumped about this.
Yeah. Somebody pointed out that, you know, the scene in the trailer where he's visiting Wanda at an orchard.
Yeah.
And he's sort of just wearing like a regular jacket and a scarf.
Yeah.
There's another scene in the trailer also where everything is like just like blood red and she's in her Scarlet Witch regalia and he's still wearing that. So like some people are speculating that like that whole orchard scene was an illusion that she created.
Yeah, I saw that same thought. I hope so. Like part of me, as much as I really like Elizabeth Olsen as a hero and stuff, I like the idea of her going crazy and being like a potentially being at least a minor bad guy in this, you know. I think that could be very cool. Some of the other rumors I've seen is that, you know, how she like basically at the end of WandaVision, she like stole Agatha's power. I've seen thoughts that like a plot point might be that she's trying to do the same thing to America Chavez because she can kind of kick holes into other universes. And so maybe Wanda's trying to find her boys, you know, in another universe.
Yeah.
I'm down with that, man. There's a quick shot in the trailer too, where it looks like they're like Doctor Strange and America Chavez are falling and she sort of bust a hole in reality. And there's an animated reality on the other side of it.
I was going to say that. That looked pretty cool.
That's wild, man. I'm like, Yeah, this movie just looks like it's going to be insane. I mean, and then I don't know, have you seen any of the like breakdowns of the poster they released on the same day?
I saw some of those. Yeah.
Right. So like it's basically just Doc Strange standing in the middle of like a shattering reality. And then on the shards of that, we get like little, there's like little details of other places or people or whatever. And like one of them has a very clearly like a piece of Captain Carter's shield from What If on it, you know? And so now people are like, is she coming in live action? And I mean, bloody dude, to see Haley Atwell come in any kind of action, you know, is that's fucking ideal. but you know, one of the shards looks like it, like it's a little tougher to read on the poster, but it looks like it might be Deadpool, you know. Mm-hmm. Although Ryan Reynolds
felt like a stretch to me, but
I
did see Ryan Reynolds kind of say, yeah, that's not really, but it seemed like he might have been like trying to sweep that under the rug.
Oh, right. I saw somebody say, and I hope that this happens, I hope he saw it and is like, that's funny, I'm going to do that. Somebody was like, I would love if Ryan Reynolds, leading up to the release of this movie, just in every interview kept denying it, but in every interview he wore the exact same clothes that Andrew Garfield was wearing in his interviews leading up to Spider-Man.
That would be like, hilarious.
I'm like, that would be so funny if he was wearing the exact same outfits and just like, no, there's no truth to that, it's photoshopped, you know, just like, I'm like, that would be awesome and feels like something he would do. So yeah, but I don't know, man. I mean, I think this has the potential to be even more nostalgic and member berries than No Way Home was, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think it's also, I think that the one problem that we see is now that No Way Home did it, like it was like, you did it, you brought back a bunch of stuff from the past. Now I feel like since they're delving into the multiverse, continuing to delve into the multiverse, that we're just going to expect it in every movie, you know. Yeah. Like we're gonna be like Wakanda 2 or Black Panther 2 Wakanda Forever. I'm sure that Wolverine will be in that, you know. And it's like, why would he be in that? I don't know. You know, like I feel like that's where we're gonna get. So who knows? Maybe this one will shut it down, or maybe it will continue to feed the hype by introducing a bunch of people. Did you see the rumor that we might get crazy old Tom Cruise in this as well?
No, I didn't.
So a long time ago, I think when they were casting, right before they cast Robert Downey Jr. for Iron Man, Tom Cruise was in the running for that role for Tony Stark. And it's fairly well known that he was in the running. And so a lot of people now are speculating, like, what if it would still give us that clean break with Robert Downey Jr. so that it wouldn't be like, oh, maybe he'll come back, maybe he'll come back, if they had a variant Tony Stark played by Tom Cruise in this. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, that would be weird. And I don't know if the general audience would get that. Like, they'd be like, wait a second, is he the new Iron Man? You know, but also it would be Tom Cruise who, I mean, don't get me wrong, dude can run and do his own stunts and break bones, but he's just not, I don't know, man. He's not one of my favorites. So
yeah, he's not one of my favorites either. I might be okay with it if they did it this one time, but if it was like a recurring thing,
yeah,
I don't know that I would care for that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe he could use more money to get into a deeper level of Scientology where he's allowed to interact with his daughter again or something. But that's right. He's a monster who doesn't talk to his kid because her mom was like, I don't want to be in a cult. And he was like, well, then fuck right off. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe Scientology is a real religion. Sorry. I tried to get there. I couldn't. Yeah. Doctor Strange, the Multiverse of Madness. I hate that it got pushed back to May, but I am excited to see it, man. So yeah, we've got what, 3 months until that drops? May 6th, yeah. I believe. So yeah, I'm hoping that I can get their opening weekend and check that out. I'm sure I will. I'm sure it'll be one of those situations where I tell the family, like, hey, in 3 weeks, don't plan anything on like Saturday morning. I don't care what you're doing, we're going to the movies, you know? So
yeah, I'm really hoping things clear up a little bit more, and then that way I can get out there and join you guys too. But
yeah, that'd be great. I hope so, man. But I'm sure the people who refuse to mask and vaccine and all that, even if they get it, they'll wait until it's gone and they no longer have natural antibodies, and then they'll be out there licking doorknobs again. So, this is what they do, you know? Anyway, I don't know. Believe in science also. Grow a beard and believe in science. I guess those are our takeaways. That's our The More You Know segment of the show. anyway, so. All right, man. Well, let me ask you one last question, Zach.
Okay.
Tell me, do you really want to taste it?
Boy, do I ever.
That's right. That's a short intro. We're talking about Peacemaker this week. We're going to wrap up the season, not the series, because we've been confirmed that there is a season two a coming. And I am pumped. So we're going to talk. We covered episodes 1 through 3, a number of weeks ago when those premiered, but now we're going to talk about the series as a whole and kind of, some of our favorite parts. We're probably not going to go too in depth on everything because we got a lot to cover. So let's get into it, man. Peacemaker, give me your hot take.
It was great. I'm going to go out and say that, like, to me right now, especially with like all of the fuck ups that DC has had with movies and everything in the last several years.
Sure.
Peacemaker might be the best thing to happen to the DC cinematic universe in a long time.
I agree. I think it's so good. It's so good. And it's and don't get me wrong. I've liked a number of the DC movies, but they just can't seem to string together two wins consecutively.
Right.
You know, like I really liked Wonder Woman. It had a little bit of a wonky fighting a big generic gray guy third act, but the first Wonder Woman movie is pretty good.
Yeah.
I really dug it. I liked Shazam. I may be an apologist for that though, because I love Zachary Levi. Like, he just seems like such a good person. He's one of those few people that, like, everything I read about him, if something ever came out that he was like a horrible person or did something really unforgivable, it might break me for a while. Like, I might just be depressed for a week or two, you know, like at the bare minimum, because he just seems like such a nice guy. And I don't know. I just really like him in that role. I like him in general. But speaking of Peacemaker, you know, in some interviews, John Cena has been pretty vocal about he went out for that role also. And didn't get it. And he's like, yeah, it was a bummer, because he's like, I act like a big kid all the time anyway. So I thought that would be perfect. I'm like, yeah. And now I could see it, man. I was like, the wrestler guy? I don't know. The build wise, he looks like Shazam, but I don't know if he could carry that. But he absolutely could have. Like, yeah, dude has got good comedic timing, and he's intimidating physically. And, you know, when he needs to be, he's emotional in this. Like, what the hell, man? But yeah, by and large, the DC cinematic universe or extended universe or whatever, which may be dead, who knows? I mean, Warner Brothers doesn't know what the fuck they're doing. I think it's pretty abundantly clear, but yeah, this is probably one of, if not the best thing in the DCEU ever.
Yeah, totally agree.
Yeah, yeah. So let me ask you one thing I wanted to touch on very early. How did you feel about the music? Because I know you're not a hair metal fan.
I'm not, but it weirdly fits with the character and like his
it really does.
His like history and his vibe. Like it works well for him, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I think so too. Again, he comes from No Chinville. He lives in that trailer park, kind of in, you know, backwoods, wherever. And it's sort of that's the anthem of those places, you know? It's like Kid Rock for president, you know? Like, I just wish that he would have gotten in office before Josie passed away, so he could have been his vice. the hair. I love hair metal. I mean, I'll admit it. I come from, my genetics. I come from Appalachian stock. Like, most of my mom's side of the family is from Kentucky, and my dad's side is from like southeastern Ohio near West Virginia. You know, so I am hill folk. So, yeah, that's what we get into that stuff. We like our music loud and fast and oddly homoerotic. Anyway, Peacemaker. yeah, what a great show, man. So we talked early on about the first three episodes, right? Where we're learning more about Christopher Smith and about his racist asshole dad, who everything I've read says that Robert Patrick is like such a great guy to work with. And he's like the nicest guy. So when you see him in a role like this, like it seems so jarring, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he plays bad guys a lot and he's good at it. Mm-hmm. But everything I've seen, every interview I've seen with anybody who's worked with him has been like, oh no, he's great to work with on set, you know?
Yeah.
And I got that feeling because I was watching I don't know if you saw, James Gunn posted a blooper reel from Peacemaker this week.
No, I didn't see that.
Okay, yeah. And it helped me a little bit because there's one scene where you don't even really hear what was said, but it's Robert Patrick standing at the door with the two police officers, the Asian woman and the white guy. And it's the one where he just keeps saying horrible racist shit to her. And all three of them are just laughing like he said something funny. It seems like he said something funny and those two start laughing and then he starts laughing. I'm like, that's good. That makes that whole scene a little easier to swallow.
Yeah, because he says some pretty stomach churning stuff.
Oh, throughout the series, man. Yeah. Throughout the series, he is just a monster. Like it's... One of my favorite things in the blooper reel, though. So we get in one of the, I think it's episode five, maybe four or five. We get where he actually suits up as White Dragon and gets all his pillowcase wearing, neo-Nazi fuckboys to come with him and hunt down Peacemaker. Right.
Right.
And he rams the van and turns it over and then he busts a hole in the side and he's like, you know, Peacemaker's like, Dad, what are you doing? And he's like, something I should have done a long time ago, boy, you know? And then he tries to kill him. Well, in the outtake, and again, this just speaks to John Cena's comedic timing and stuff. There's an outtake where he says, something I should have done a long time ago, boy. And John Cena cuts in and goes, explain, what's he say? How does he say it? Because I want to try to get it as close as I can. I'm not going to get it back 100%, but he goes, explain completely and with great detail on how to properly climax. I'm like, funny as shit, man. I'm like, dude, that guy's a funny dude, man.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, Robert Patrick is great in this. And the fact that toward the end, we see Peacemaker end him, right?
Mm-hmm.
But toward the end, he keeps coming back as like visions, right? That Christopher Smith is having of his father.
Yeah.
So that leads me to hope that Robert Patrick is going to be involved in season two.
I hope he is too, but like, I don't know if you remember when we talked about the Peacemaker character, the one of the alternate versions of him, the post-Crisis on Infinite Earths or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
He was haunted by the ghost of his father.
Right, right.
And yeah. He also believed that there were ghosts like attaching themselves to his helmet.
That's right.
So I'm really hoping that like he starts going through this thing where like he starts to feel a little bit of like guilt for killing people, and then he's then haunted by them. Because like they could do so many like fantastic actors that are
absolutely
for, like, 2 seconds because he murders them and then come back later in the show haunting him as a ghost.
That would be awesome. That would be amazing. Yeah, and they could do those really quickly, you know.
Yeah.
There is some credence to that, because when he sees his dad for the first time post mortal coil, you know, he shoots his blow dart at him.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you notice, like he was standing right above where the helmet was that they're looking for.
Yeah.
So maybe. So that would be really funny.
That would be really funny, I think.
That was a great exchange, too. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, it was just like, that's one of the things that I think is like the most interesting about the character is that he's so unhinged that he believes that ghosts are following him everywhere.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah. I agree, man. I think that could be hilarious and played really well. Yeah, I don't know. I think that could be a lot of fun. That exchange was great when he's like, what does he say? He goes, I'm in your head, boy. You almost pulled your gun and shot me. He's like, I didn't pull my gun, you dumb shit. Like That's such a great exchange. He's like, I pulled out my blowgun because they would hear the fire, obviously. And he's like, I'm in your head. He's like, you're not in shit. Like, I just love that interaction because it felt like a family argument, you know, like, yeah. Shut the fuck up. So good, man. Who would have guessed at the beginning of this series that one of the most characters that you could empathize with and was most vulnerable would be Steve Agee's economist?
Yeah.
Like in that last episode when he's like explaining that he does dye his beard, and such a ridiculous premise too, but he just completely vulnerable about how, like, you know, he doesn't keep up with it because he focuses too much on work and he doesn't think that anybody really cares anyway and notices him. And you know, it's like a sad scene. Like, you're just like, this poor guy is just fucking broken. And I mean, even they do a great job of just showing the other characters hearing that interaction. Mm-hmm. And like, especially like Peacemaker's kind of like, shit, you know, like I am a bully to this guy, you know, like,
yeah,
so good. And then almost immediately afterwards breaks his leg, which is so funny. That whole, I mean, I don't know, man. I think Steve Agee was fantastic. I mean, everybody is really, but he was great in this at becoming more than just like the comedic input guy, you know? Mm-hmm. I think part of that is great performance, but also just phenomenal writing by James Gunn, you know?
Yeah.
To write those kind of things into characters and giving them more depth and stuff, so. How did you feel about the plot of the season?
I mean, like, at a high level, it sounds kind of weird and like it might not be very entertaining. But the characters and the actors themselves really carry the story through. And like,
yeah,
and just kind of you just dig it. Like, it's just the way that it's told and who's doing it really kind of carries the show.
Absolutely. Yeah. 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 I agree completely. But yeah, I kind of was the same thing. It was kind of a weird premise with like not a well-known DC villain or villains, or you know what I mean? Like, it was kind of this weird, at least I'm completely unfamiliar with them if they are from DC canon.
Yeah.
The butterflies, so to speak, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I do like that there was another kaiju. Big cow thing. Even James Gunn did it again. Like, you feel sorry for that thing at the end when it's getting shocked and stuff. Like, you're like, fuck, like, it doesn't want to be there. It doesn't know what's going on. It's scared, you know?
It's so weird looking, though. I mean, it's got like human fleshy looking skin, spider eyes, and then like a giant like baby tooth.
Yeah, right in the middle. It's so odd. Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah. It's so odd. So fucking weird, man. Yeah. It's creepy as shit. Like, when I first saw it, I think I audibly went, ugh. Like, you know, and they're just fucking milking it. It's like hanging up in the thing and they're just milking that shit out of it. Oh, my God. That shit, which looks like stomach bile also, you know, it's like thick and kind of yellowish and. Ugh. So yeah, there's that thing. Let's jump I'm gonna jump all over the place here, but like a weird side character we get throughout the series is Judo Master.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a butterfly in his head, but he knows what they're about, but he's with them all the way. How did you feel about like his kind of journey throughout the series and his stance on the butterflies?
I don't know. I didn't really give that much thought. I don't really care for Judo Master that much. Like, I was like, when I thought he was dead, I was just kind of like done with it. Like, you know,
like, you're like, okay.
All right, let's move on.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like him. I like him as a character only because he's so fucking little and he's still like beating ass, which is funny, you know, but the other thing I saw somebody point out, and it may have been on like New Rock Stars or may have been Screen Crush. Those are the two I usually go to. But on one of them, they pointed out that like he's always eating Flaming Hot Cheetos, like always.
Yeah.
They're like they speculated that like maybe that was to keep a butterfly from trying to go down his throat. Like, no, because
I don't know,
maybe it would like burn their skin or something. Because if his mouth was just always full of hot Cheeto dust. And I was like, oh, that kind of makes sense because his suit really is tight and hides all of his other orifices, you know? So maybe that's it. Maybe it's just to keep them from trying to climb down his mouth if one needs a host, you know? Mm-hmm. Which I thought was kind of an interesting take on that, you know, because boy, he is always eating them. He never stops with the Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
Yeah.
You know, like you're going to have to get your stomach pumped like that little rapper kid. There's some rapper that did that. He ate like 15 bags in a couple days and had to end up going to the hospital to like get some sort of like Metamucil or something because his stomach lining was just like, I'm dissolving down here. Thanks. You know.
Metamucil.
Yeah, something. I don't know. Is that what Metamucil does?
It's for shitting.
What's the shit that like coats and protects your belly from harmful shit? Is that
I have no
milk of magnesia? Is that for shitting also? I don't know. I'm Googling it now. I hope to God this says Metamucil. it doesn't. Best over-the-counter solutions for your digestive problems. That says antacids and shit for that. Mm-hmm. All right. Maybe just antacids. I don't know. I feel like something with like that's all chalky and milky would help absorb all that shit, you know? But is Metamucil chalky and milky? I've never taken it. I've just seen it on the shelf.
It's chalky. It usually tastes like citrus flavored. And like it's fiber. You just like mix it into water and then drink it so that you can have a bowel movement.
Oh, it's for not shitting problems.
Right.
Oh, okay. Because I thought when you said shitting problems, I thought you meant like it helps with diarrhea. I'm like, how the fuck does fiber help with diarrhea? Like, well, we'll push it off you so that you're clean as a whistle.
No, it's like, you know, a lot of older people take it because they have difficulty having a bowel movement.
Gotcha. Okay. A weird tangent for us to go off on.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah. Thanks, man. I you're my expert on all things about shit, so...
it's good to be known for something.
Yeah. Zach, I have an orange spot in my shit. What should I do? Write in with your questions about your shits if you have them. Let Zach know. A photo of what's in the toilet also always helps. Send that directly to him. PM him with that. But no, so Judo Master was interesting. At the end, even he's like crying when he sees all the butterflies dead and stuff. And it's weird because you see the two sides of that coin. Like, I really thought that Peacemaker might have helped them at the end because they actually appeal to his sensibilities. They're like, you know, we destroyed our planet and now you're doing the same thing. So we're going to help you not do it.
Yeah.
And I thought that he, you know, especially this motto, like peace at any cost. And so I thought it showed some growth as a character where he's like, no, fuck that. People need to be able to make their own mistakes, you know, but more importantly, at the end, he says to Adebayo, he says, you know, I knew that they would hurt you if I helped them, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I thought that was pretty cool. How did you feel about her as a character? Because I think she's a brand new character for this show, correct?
Yeah.
So how'd you feel about Adebayo?
She's okay. She's kind of awkward and bumbling, like even more so than John Economos.
Yeah. Until that last fight.
That's true. Until
she comes out, man. Oh, I was like, oh my God, she's doing Gun Kata. Because she was twirling and shooting and double fisting the pistols. I was like, oh, she's killing it, man.
Yeah.
And she was necessarily spinning, not like the mod guy in the Book of Boba Fett spinning just for the sake of flair, you know. So, she was actually, you know, it harkened back to me in the earlier conversation with her mother, Amanda Waller, where she said, you know, like, why am I doing this? She's like, because you're built for this shit. You know, and she says it at the end. She's like, I'm built for this shit. And she goes out and she is, man. Like, it's just like this weird ingrained thing in her where she's just when she turns off the emotion, she's like fucking stone cold killer, you know, which I thought was kind of cool. Kind of weird. Like, you feel sorry for her because you're like, is she going to continue to get worse and worse, you know, as her character continues to grow? But I don't know. So. Let's see, who else are we missing? So Harcourt, what did you think of Amelia Harcourt?
She's kind of, I don't want to say like killer with a heart of gold type thing, but like she's definitely like in the beginning, she's very cold and very hardened. And that kind of loosens up a little bit over the season.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, I liked her character by the end where she sort of just naturally steps into that leader role, you know, which I guess is from the comics. Again, I don't know a ton about her as a character, but I guess in the comics, at a certain point, she takes over the heading up the Suicide Squad from Amanda Waller. And I was like, interesting. Okay. So, yeah. So, but yeah, I thought she was pretty cool. Again, just a great performance because you can see, again, I think some of it's writing, some of it's acting ability, but with all these characters, it's believable. Their journey is believable because you see those little cracks forming in their kind of like, in the you know, they're set in their ways, but these little cracks form throughout the episodes. And then by the end, they've made a complete character arc or a, you know, a complete character journey that you believe it. It's believable. It wasn't just like, oh, I used to be a bad guy. Now I'm not, you know, I thought that was cool. How did you feel about her like kind of tearful goodbye with the butterfly that was inside of Myrn?
That was a little weird.
It's weird, right?
It's a little weird.
Like, it's funny because it was like at first, like she does a good job selling it where like I was like, oh man, like this is sad. And then they flash back to him and I'm like, it's a fucking butterfly. That's not that sad. You know, like why does this feel so sad? You know, but yeah, he like kind of touches her finger with his little hand. Like, you're the leader now, you know, like, so weird. I did like, too, that her character kind of grew to the point where she's brazen enough that she just on the phone when Adebayo's talking to Waller, she just goes, Harcourt, you're in charge. And she's like, OK, mom. You know, like I was like, that's pretty ballsy because we've seen Amanda Waller do some fucked up shit, you know, like.
Yeah.
But I thought that was pretty funny. That was a good interaction, too. So, yeah, man, I don't know. And like. So let's get to the breakout star in this, in my opinion, Vigilante.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. What do you like Vigilante? Do you still think, I mean, he's obviously weird and has no social graces, but do you like him as a character? Do you want to see more of him?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. He's
okay.
Hilarious.
Okay. Yeah. He's great. Right. Yeah. He is definitely grading, but he is a hell of a lot of fun to watch on screen. And the guy who plays him too, like, you know, I was watching the outtakes. In the outtakes, you see him being human, you know, when he's like, they're in a scene and he starts laughing, he's trying to get it back together and stuff. And seeing those outtakes, it's weird because I didn't really think of it till I watched that. It occurred to me that like throughout the series, his facial expressions and his tone and everything were very sociopathic.
Oh yeah.
You know, like, I mean, I knew that, but you don't really like, if you watch the outtakes, you'll get what I'm saying. What I mean, because there's one scene with him just cracking up. I think it's when he's tied up maybe or something. And he starts laughing and he's like, okay, okay, okay. And it's just so human that you realize how non-human he is in the show.
Right.
And I was like, oh man. Okay. Like what a great job by him too, to just kind of keep it together and keep that same energy going throughout the whole character arc, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's fucking hilarious. He's got some of, if not the best lines in the series or in the season, I think.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree.
Great. Even the after credits scene on the last episode where he's like talking about sarcasm and how you do sarcasm correctly. And it's weird. Cause again, it also shows this like weird, like sort of friendship that he's developed with economists, you know, like
yeah.
Because he's like, I haven't noticed that you're eating more corn chips daily than any one person should. I'm not worried you're going to die. See, I am worried that you're going to die. he also refers to Adebayo in that episode as his fifth best friend, which to me, you know, lets me know that he considers economists and Harcourt as like three and four, you know, and like, it just cracks me up. Like, and that everybody's his best friend, you know, like, you're my fifth best friend. Oh man. Yeah. He's so good. Or like, even when he's trying to kind of tag along with whatever Peacemaker's doing, you know, like when Peacemaker's trying to explain to Eagly about dropping the helmet on the barn And he's over his shoulder. He's like, pick up the helmet, pick up the helmet, drop it on the barn. You gotta drop the helmet on the barn, Eagly. And Peacemaker like looks at him like, the fuck are you doing? You know, like, oh God, so good, man. Such a good character. And I thought, I really going into this series, I didn't know much about Vigilante. And I guess Vigilante in the comics from somebody else I was talking to is very different than this. Mm-hmm. But I thought he was going to be a complete throwaway character. And man, he really made the show in a lot of instances. So,
oh yeah,
so good. But what else, man? What else stuck out to you about the last half of the season?
Well, what do you think about our surprise cameos at the end of the final episode?
Okay, so two things I thought about that. One, I'm really surprised that WB let that happen.
Yeah, like, I was a little surprised too.
Because they are so protective over, like, you know, okay, fine, Suicide Squad, you're rated R, nobody else is, you know. So I was really surprised they let that happen. I thought they were amazing. I thought it was amazing, though.
Yeah, yeah.
For a number of reasons. But, like, I thought it was amazing that Adebayo suggests that to Waller, and then Waller listens to her and does it, you all know? Right. Like, because so first of all, it lets you know that Waller actually does value her daughter's opinions, you know, even though she doesn't seem to. It also lets you know that Waller has some pull where she could call the, I mean, we're talking all things spoilers. She can call the Justice League and they'll go, okay, yeah, we'll go check it out. You know what I mean? Like, she actually has some pull with some people. I did find it a little weird that they didn't at least put a stand in for Batman. And who?
Cyborg.
Who else? And Cyborg, yeah.
Yeah.
Cyborg, I sort of understand, because I think WB is like, listen, we can't do anything with that character because Ray Fisher will go off and we'll look like assholes, you know? Right. Like,
yeah.
So I sort of understand that one. But Batman seems like a very weird one to not be there, you know?
Yeah.
I saw somebody say, like, they really wish they had put Cyborg in just to see the blow up on Twitter. from Ray Fisher, like, they were like, they should have used some of his old dialogue and just had him show up and say booyah.
Booyah.
And I was like, oh my God, he would have lost his mind. I thought it was funny though, man. I thought it was amazing. Yeah,
I saw an article where James Gunn was asked about it, and he said he didn't really know Jason Momoa and Ezra Miller very well. And so, like, when he approached him, he talked to Jason Momoa about it, and he thought for sure he wasn't going to like it at all. But I guess he, like, laughed his ass off and was, like, totally on board from the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw that too. That same, it might have been the same article. I saw that Jason Momoa, which everything I've heard too, I've heard that, like, Jason Momoa, when he's on a set filming, like, he likes to joke around and, like, pull pranks on people. And when people get him back, he's not mad about it ever. Like, he's just like, that's fucking hilarious, you know? Yeah. Like I've heard that, again, he's another one that I've heard, like, just like the nicest person that you could ever hope to meet, you know? We worked with a guy, I don't know if he still works with you, but we worked with a guy who's met Jason Momoa a few times.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it was weird, because this guy told me, he's like, I've actually met a number of celebrities, only because he's like, I go to comic conventions fairly often. And he's like, and I don't know if he still does, but at the time he smoked, and he's like, so when I go out to have a cigarette outside, you'd be surprised how many celebrities will come out to smoke, and I just meet them, you know, like, cause we're just standing with the smokers. And like, and he said that at the time, Jason Momoa more than once at like subsequent year comic conventions came out to smoke, and he met him. And he said, like, the second or third time, I was just like, oh, hi. And he said, Jason Momoa was like, oh, hey, man, how's it been? You know, like, remembered seeing him the year before, you know?
That's funny.
And yeah, and was just like very, like, chatted with him for a little bit and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, man, I don't know if Momoa still smokes, but, like, I'm like, what a good dude to just be like, not be like, don't fucking talk to me, you know? Like,
right, yeah.
You know, especially like if you're having a cigarette, like I never smoked, but I feel like that's a, like, I need this to get through my day. So please don't interrupt it. You know, like, but maybe they're, I mean,
that's
it does
the thing
seem
about, like, a lot of smokers that I've known over the years is that they're really, like, that's like their social time.
Yeah, that is true. That is true, though. I guess that's what I was going to say. I guess it is sort of a social activity, though, to go out and smoke. So, but yeah, so I've heard that. Yeah, Jason Momoa is another one that just seems genuinely nice enough that I if I found out nefarious shit about him, I think it would just break my heart. Yeah, no, you know, like, and also, I mean, I give a lot of shit to Ezra Miller. Like, this made me like Ezra Miller a little bit more.
Yeah,
that he would be willing to come and do this dumb bestiality joke.
James Gunn said that he agreed to do it because he was a fan of James Gunn's work.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Plus, it's just great to see Aquaman say fuck twice. You know, I think it makes these characters feel more real. I do too. You think about the Justice League, the movie, even the Snyder Cut, there can't be a moment in all that craziness when the world's about to end that somebody doesn't go, well, fuck, I guess Snyder made it a little bit more lived in where he did the Joker did a reach around joke or something. I don't know. I can't remember. I mean, he made some joke about fucking Batman. I remember in the post credit scene, I was like, yeah. Oh, okay. Well, good on you. But yeah, dude, this joke was just funny. I love that they played both the jokes, really, because if you also remember when Peacemaker was visiting the classroom in an earlier episode, the one little girl, the girl he called gender swapped Alfred E. Newman, asked if he had ever met the Flash, and he's like, yeah, I met him, and like everybody else who's ever met him, he's a pretentious D-bag or something like that. You know, he calls him a D-bag, and I'm like, that sounds, feels like a very D-bag thing to just like, I fucking hate that rumor. And it's like, it's not a rumor, you know, like what, you asshole, you know? They took a pot shot at Green Arrow also. I mean, they're taking a pot shot at a lot of the Justice League in this show. You know, they said that he claimed Superman had a poop fetish. What else? He called Batman a pussy. He said that Wonder Woman was IFing him from across the room.
Yeah.
He said that Aquaman fucks fish. He called the Flash a douchebag. And then in this one, they take a pot shot at Green Arrow. He goes to brony conventions as the back half of Twilight Sparkle with a 4-inch butthole drilled into the costume. And that one, when they go, come on, Economist is like, no, most of what he says is bullshit, but I've heard that one's true. Oh, my God. What a fucking great joke.
It was pretty, pretty solid. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great show.
It really is, man. It's so good. So yeah, I was kind of shocked that they were able to get those cameos though. Like I said, I was shocked WB let it happen, especially because those two both have upcoming movies for WB.
That's true. Yeah.
That's crazy that DC and WB signed off on that and was like, no, it's fine. We can have them take the piss, you know, I was sort of shocked, but they did it. And that's the kind of thing that I think builds some goodwill with fans, you know, I feel like that's the kind of thing that fans will go, okay, good. Maybe they don't take themselves too seriously, you know?
Yeah.
Or it might just be the wrong message that they've taken. They're like, okay, doing the Justice League thing like the Avengers didn't work. So what if we cameo people at the end of other things? That seemed to work for Marvel, you know, I'm hoping that's not the message they took. I don't think that's why James Gunn wrote it, but I'm hoping that that's not what WB is leaning on and going, that's why Peacemaker was successful, you know, but it feels like their track record tells me they might.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. I don't know. There's so much good stuff here. There's the comedy is well done. The action is very well done. You know, it's gory when it needs to be. There's tension breaking laughter when it needs to be. Yeah, man. I don't know. Just solid all around. Yeah. And then I kind of got a little bit with him human torpedoing Adebayo into the cow and shooting them, you know, and then still being okay with Goff at the end, Goff lands and he's got the snack for him, you know? It was just good, man. It was a fun, good show. I don't know how else to put it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yeah, I feel like I'm ranting about it, but I feel like with good reason. Everybody I know who's watches any comic book stuff, I'm like, you got to check out Peacemaker. You got to watch Peacemaker. I don't know, man. What else? What am I missing? Anything else that you want to cover?
No, I don't think so. I was just going to mention how it did on Rotten Tomatoes. The critic score is 95 and audience average is 88.
Wow.
It's pretty good. It's pretty up there.
Okay. So that's awesome, man. I mean, like I said, I think they hit it out of the park with this one, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I think they've realized it too. They gave James Gunn a second season with it, you know? Mm-hmm. Which he's announced. He's also announced that coming up soon, we will be finding out about his second Suicide Squad spinoff that's coming to HBO Max. He's doing another character.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah. As much as I don't think he could carry a show as a character, there's a weird part of me that sort of wants it to be Weasel. Like just seeing him skulk around this island eating people, you know, like some sort of, like you could do it almost like a horror anthology series, you know, just like different parts of the world. And it always turns out to be Weasel, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, man, but I can't imagine that surviving as a show. So
yeah, maybe it'll be maybe a Polka Dot Man really didn't get pulverized into red dust.
Oh yeah. Or maybe it could be a prequel with Polka Dot Man. You know, I'd be into that, man. I'd watch him, man, in that. That's awesome. I don't know. There's so many good characters from The Suicide Squad that you could do, you know? I mean, hell, I think it would be somewhat interesting if he did a series that was like an anthology series that every episode focused on one of the people that died really early in that movie. And it was like showing how, like what they did to get incarcerated and placed on The Suicide Squad.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I would watch that. Like, I'd watch an episode with, you know, Pete Davidson doing whatever the fuck his character does, and an episode with Michael Rooker doing, you know, his thing. And I think that could be interesting. The Detachment Kid, you know, an episode with Nathan Fillion doing that. I would watch the hell out of that, man.
Yeah.
I think that would be really cool. But, yeah, I don't know, man. I like a lot of gun stuff. Really, anything I've seen that he's done, I'm really a fan of. I mean, I even have a weird part of me even kind of likes the Scooby-Doo movies. You know, but, and I don't know, man. I'm into it. So good work. I'm pumped for Guardians 3, you know?
Yeah.
I did see there's also, so speaking of, we talked about new rock stars. Speaking of, we talked about new rock stars and Screen Crush, but speaking of Screen Crush, in his most recent episode, Ryan Airy actually broke down the opening dance number sequence and how he thinks that parallels things that happen in the show.
Oh.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting, you know?
Let's check that out.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Like, a sneak peek is he mentions that, like, you know, when Harcourt and Mern first come onto the screen out of those doors, the way their arms are, they look like marionettes almost. Mm-hmm. And he's like, which Mern is literally being puppeted by an alien, but she feels like she's being controlled by Waller and has no free say in what she's doing, you know? Right. And I was like, oh, interesting. But it's a lot of that throughout the whole day. He covers the whole dance number. So it's definitely worth a checkout. I think it's kind of cool. Yeah, man, such a good show. I mean, I'm just excited to see it keep going and you know, for all these actors and James Gunn and everybody involved, like excellent work. And I'm glad to see you keep getting stuff. And I think it's great for John Cena to show that, like, yeah, he's more than just a big tough guy, which he's done before. I mean, he was in the movie Trainwreck, I think, with Amy Schumer. Mm-hmm. And that movie was just okay, in my opinion, but he's kind of one of the highlights of the movie. You know, he was also in that movie Blockers or Cock Blockers or whatever you want to call it, where he's a concerned parent of a teenage girl,
right?
You know, and he's got some great comedic bits in that and stuff. So yeah, good on him, man. And I watched, and again, he seems like a great guy. I watched an interview with him recently where he was just singing the praises of Dwayne Johnson and how, like, you know, he really changed the game because he's like, he's the first one that showed people that, like, we can do more than be just big tough guys in movies. You know, like, mm-hmm. we can carry a role, and we are comedic, and we can be goofy, and we can be silly, and we can be dramatic when we need to be. And, you know, I was like, It was interesting. It was an interesting interview. I would check that out too. It was one of those, like, I forget who it is, Vanity Fair, GQ or something, but they talk about his most iconic roles with him and as he's going through them all. And it's crazy because he just seems like a very humble dude where he's like, you know, I was given this opportunity. He talks about one of the first movies he made for like the WWE Corporation, like Soldier, I think it's called. And he's like, it wasn't even supposed to be my role, but the guy whose it was backed out last minute. And I went and he goes, I just wanted to be a wrestler at that time. And so I really took it for granted and it's a shame. I hate that I did, but it was a great learning experience. And, you know, it's interesting. It's interesting to see him like kind of as just a real person chatting, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, man, I don't know. I feel like I talked a lot in this one. What's your final verdict?
I would say I'm going to put it at 4.75.
Okay. Okay.
Almost perfect.
Right on. Okay. Yeah, I think I would give it a 5 out of 5, man. Like, I can't think of anything I would have really changed to make it better. Yeah, man. This show, though, check it out. Especially, you know, it's, I'll tell you what, man, as much as I really enjoy the theater experience and stuff, between the Disney Plus shows, and if they keep letting Gunn make these shows for HBO Max, I'm kind of okay with having like short episodic superhero content that's not on the CW.
Yeah. Oh, you totally. Know? Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm really digging it, man. You know, I did not think
I was going to enjoy it as much as I did, to be honest. Like, I was looking forward to it because I like John Cena, but I did not think I was going to enjoy it this much. And I really do. It was a really good show.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fantastic. It is definitely not safe for younger viewers.
No, it's not. Not by any means.
Yeah. But, and it's labeled as such. It's labeled MA, but yeah, I mean, goddamn, is it funny? And just like I said, like, it's got a lot of heart in it. It's got fucking John Cena playing the piano.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So yeah, good shit, man. So yeah, check out Peacemaker. Yep. On HBO Max, or download it if you don't have HBO Max, download it, find a place where you can buy it. I don't know if you can buy it on any other streaming service or whatever, but if you can, do that. It's good stuff, man. So yeah, I think that's about all I got.
Yep, that's all I got.
All right, make peace, not war.
Or as my high school friend used to say, love, peace, and penis grease.
Love, peace, and penis grease. Okay, there you go, man.
You're welcome.
All right, with on that note, we'll bid you adieu.
Later.
See ya.
Grading the Nerd was recorded and produced by Zach Boyd and Tim Witham in Dayton, Ohio. If you liked our show, subscribe, rate, share, and review on Apple Podcasts or other platforms. For questions, comments, or ideas, drop us an email at gradingthenerdpodcast@gmail.com. As always, Anchor members can send us a voicemail. Our theme music was composed by Kevin MacLeod. You can find all of his credits and links in our show notes. Come back for more, and we'll see you next time on Grading the Nerd.